At Alma, we know the connection between you and your therapist matters. But if you're already feeling stressed and burnt out, the idea of trying to find a therapist you really connect with can be overwhelming. That's why Alma's focused on helping you find the right therapist for you. When you browse their online directory, you can filter by the qualities that are most important to you. Then, book free 15-minute consultations with any therapist you're interested in seeing. And because 95% of therapists at Alma accept insurance, you can find care that's affordable too. You want to talk to someone, but not just anyone. Alma is there to help you find the right fit. Visit helloalma.com/therapy30 to schedule a free consultation today. That's helloalma.com/therapy30.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Am I gonna die?
This is the devil. Satan. Beelzebub. Legion, all scratch, welcoming you to Halloween week on Talk is Jericho. Enjoy the shows. If I don't possess your body and make you burn first.
Welcome to Talk is Jericho. It is the pod of Halloween, thunder, and rock and roll. And getting in on the spooky action, Duff McKagan and the much anticipated joke of the week.
Chris Jericho, Duff McKagan calling you. Hope everybody's good. You know, the man who invented throat lozenges died last week. There was no coffin at the funeral. Thank you very much. Goodbye.
There you go. Happy Halloween from Duff. That was a good one. Duff gets to spend Halloween at home, and then Guns N' Roses are headed to Asia next weekend. They got a bunch of shows before they head to New Zealand and Australia later next month. Fozzy also headed to Australia in December. But before we go down under, we're crossing the pond back to the UK and Ireland. We start in Manchester on November 4th, Birmingham, Nottingham, Dublin, Belfast, Swansea, Bournemouth, Bristol, Glasgow, and London. And we're doing our legendary VIP meet and greets as well. There are tickets left for both. Just go to FozzyRock.com. Best VIP in the business. We play a mini set of songs for you. We take pictures, sign autographs. Come hang with us and come see the show. Escape the Fate and Scarlet Rebels are with us. It's going to be massive. FozzyRock.com. And don't forget to come see Fozzy and Chris Jericho's Rock and Wrestling Rager at Sea, the Four Leaf Clover. The lineup on the ship is stacked and getting even more packed. Brad Williams is our director of laughs. We've got Kate Quigley, Raj Sharma, and Jeff Dye doing comedy. Quiet Riot, Royal Bliss, Raven, the all-female Kiss cover band, Priss, my Kiss cover band, Quarantine, the Dave Spivak Project, Fozzy's going to be there, Talk is Jericho, Major Figure Pod, Paranormal 60 with Dave Schrader, AEW on the ship, Danhausen is your guest host, Dante Martin is in the four-man tournament for the Jericho Cruise Oceanic Championship, against Moose and Matt Cardona and world-famous CB are all vying to see who challenges Flip Gordon to become the very first Jericho Cruise Oceanic Champion. And don't forget, we're going to our very own private island for the first time ever, Great Stirrup K. So book your cabin now at ChrisJerichoCruise.com. All right, our annual Halloween special, Darcy the Mail Girl from The Last Drive-In with Joe Bob Briggs on the Shudder Network returns for the third annual Halloween episode that we've done, and we decided to do horror movie threequels this year, the best and worst third installments in horror franchise history. We got the ones we love, the ones we hate, and a few honorable mentions to talk about. We talk about part threes from Halloween, Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street, Jaws, The Puppet Master, Evil Dead, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Leprechaun, Psycho, Sleepaway Camp, Scream, and more. We talk about the kills, the performances, the final girls, the plots, the directors and production budgets. We do have one movie that tops the list as the greatest part three of all time. Start guessing now, and a couple that are the worst. So let's go. Darcy the Mail Girl returns Halloween threequels for the third anniversary of the Talk is Jericho Halloween special with Darcy. It's right here, it's right now, and it starts. Beware. Now.
So what kook are we moving tonight?
Michael
Myers.
All right, so it is the Halloween season, and the yearly tradition that I've started with Darcy from Last Drive-In is to do a Halloween special. Now, we started with top 10 horror movies. Then we went to top 10 kills, and we were trying to think of what can we do for this one, for this third year, the third anniversary. And we thought, actually, I think it was you that thought of it, Darcy, of talking about the best and worst third installments, aka threequels, of horror franchises.
I guess it was, but I wasn't the one that came up with threequels. That's you.
I would like to say that I invented that. I'm sure I read that somewhere.
Well, I love it.
I think it's when I was Googling to try and find out what we're going to talk about here. And first of all, I never realized how many horror movies got to the third part. How many franchises got to the third part?
I know. I was thinking that too, because originally we talked about maybe doing franchise countdowns, and I was like, there's going to be like five. Like, what's the point? But then when I started thinking about it, and you define franchises three or more, I'm like, dang, there's actually a lot of stuff that you don't necessarily think about as franchises that exist, you know?
I wonder if that's because, like, if you buy the rights to a movie, you can make them cheaper. Like, I'm thinking of Puppet Master, for example. I mean, I'm not sure how many of those are.
I was in part 12, and there's been, like, 10 since then, I think.
See, that's the point. You were
part 12. Yes, I was.
Check that out at your local store anytime soon. But once again,
your local store?
Yeah, your local store. Yeah, video store. Yeah, there is none. Shortstop in Winnipeg, Canada. But I mean, that's the thing. Like, you think, like, how can there be? And I think there's like 10 Wolfens, or you know, like those types of movies.
Howling.
That's what I meant. Howling.
Yeah.
What number of Howling were you in?
What? Why do you think I was in the Howling?
For some reason, I thought you were in a Howling.
No. I wasn't in everything. That's horrible. I think it only went up to number 7.
Yeah, so point is, there's a lot of these types of franchises that go so long, you might not have even heard about them, but they must be able to make them cheaply and, you know, make some money in freaking, you know, Lithuania or wherever the hell they can sell them. So, but there are some great ones, and there's some, we're not going to get too far into the, you know, Puppet Masters of the world, but there are a lot of great ones, and there's, like you said, you got some honorable mentions, you got a couple use right here.
So we weren't specific about how we're going to format it.
Right.
I didn't know if we're going to do like top five, whatever. So I just kind of have a list of ones that I think kind of surpass or are equal to the original ones. And that list, it turned out to be pretty long. But then I had some other ones I wanted to mention, but they're not necessarily good. So that's like an honorable mention. But then I have some that are just really, really, really horrible. And that is my list.
Gotcha.
So I didn't know how you wanted to go about discussing it, but welcome to share my list.
Well, I think we can use yours as kind of the anchor for it, because I have a couple of, you know, use as well. But let's go into it and let's talk about probably the most controversial of any threequel. And you know what I'm going to say, because your partner in crime, Joe Bob Briggs, hates this movie. And I like it. You love it. Of course, we're talking about the original Halloween 3.
8 more days till Halloween. Halloween.
8 more days till Halloween.
Silver Shamrock.
Which is also the intro music for one of my all-time favorite bands, Halloween. And they go, happy, happy Halloween.
No
Halloween.
Way.
Halloween.
That.
Happy, happy Halloween. Ah.
Wow.
And everyone sings that at the beginning. So,
that's so cool.
It came straight from that. So we're talking about Halloween 3. And the reason why this is very controversial is obviously Halloween is the classic of all classics, possibly the greatest of all time. Halloween 2 was just kind of, it was good, but it was run of the mill, kind of slasher. And then they decided to take it into a completely different direction. And that's where the controversy lies. There is no, much like spoiler alert, Halloween Ends. There is, but this has zero Michael Myers. It's not about Michael Myers in any way, shape, or form.
If you want to be, you have the naysayers out there to say he does appear in it because he's in the commercial.
Oh, you see his mask?
Yeah, you see, like, they have a commercial for the original Halloween.
Okay.
So it's like, technically, he's in it. You know, the same people are like, you know, Frankenstein is not the name of the monster. Those people.
That's a little bit of what they call an Easter egg.
Yeah,
is that he's in it. But kind of tell the premise of what Halloween 3 is about.
What?
Do you know the what's the plot of what Halloween's about? Halloween 3? Well, I mean, basically, so we don't have to get into it. Basically, it's about a toy maker that decides to make, the toy maker, Silver Shamrock is the toy company, decides to make Halloween rubber masks that are basically going to kill kids.
Yes.
Using kind of like a Celtic Stonehenge curse or something along those lines.
You're doing a good job.
Right?
Keep going.
Exactly. So, I mean, and that's kind of the basic premise of it.
And there are robot people.
There's robot people. And one of your all-time favorites, Tom Atkins. But so explain why you think this is such a controversy. Because there's a lot of people, I remember, you know, being around when it came out, and it was like critically bashed right out of the gate because there was no Michael Myers in it.
Yeah, I mean, they had decided to try to take it in a new direction to make it an anthology. So that like every year there was a different Halloween themed movie, but it wasn't a Michael Myers one.
Right. That was the idea. Like you said, an anthology.
But unfortunately they started with number 3 on that. So after 2 movies about Michael Myers, people were still expecting Michael Myers. And then it's like, no, never mind. We're doing something completely different. And they didn't really know that going in. So people kind of got upset. Kind of, you could compare it to Halloween Ends.
Right. Which is also a threequel.
It is.
In a lot of ways, right?
It absolutely is. I don't know how much you want to cross over with that, but David Gordon Green specifically said like he was completely inspired by Halloween 3. This is his Halloween 3.
To make it completely different.
Yes. I mean, that's one part of it. There's many like crossovers, starting with the font at the beginning is.
Ah, gotcha. Well, that's interesting because, you know, and the spoiler alert is that Halloween Ends, the big controversy is that there's, you know, another Michael. It's very much a Scream type thing. There's two killers and that sort of a vibe.
I guess you could call it a Scream vibe.
I mean, the Scream thing was always the twist that there wasn't just one killer, it was two, right? Yeah, and I haven't seen Halloween Ends yet. So
I don't know how much you want to give away, but I would say it wasn't a twist.
A twist, right. So the twist at the end of that is just as controversial as...
Well, it's not a twist in this. You kind of know straight up that it's just going a completely different
direction. The twist in concept.
Okay.
Though, right? Like fair. The twist, like you never... I think, once again, a lot of people were just like, I'm not going to watch this movie because... It's not about Michael Myers. And I think once you take that and put it away...
Then you can enjoy the movie?
You can enjoy the movie. Like, I remember when Chasing Amy came out, Kevin Smith's movie, I hated it because it was nothing like Clerks and Mallrats. I just spent the whole movie waiting for Jay and Silent Bob. They come in at the end for like 2 minutes. I was like, this sucks. Once I got over it, it's probably my favorite movie of the Kevin Smith films. So that's the same with Halloween 3, the Season of the Witch. And it was not a bomb. The budget of $2.5 million, and it made $14 million, but it did not get great reviews.
That's great.
Yeah.
Better than I would have guessed.
So is this something, like, I know that you're constantly trying to get this played on Last Drive-In. Do you think it'll ever get played?
Oh, man. Who knows?
Is it because of Joe Bob's residence?
Originally, I don't even know where to start. Long story short, originally we had the rights in the first marathon that we were supposed to do. Mm-hmm. We could have shown it when we had that Joe Bob's comeback special.
Right.
And he said, hell no. No one likes Halloween 3. I'm like, I was begging for it. I'm like, we can bring Tom Atkins in. He was just, no, 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 I hate Halloween 3. So like it became this thing now to prove that there are fans of Halloween 3. He's like, no one likes it. It's horrible. Now I have definitely proven that other people want to watch it. It's just now a matter of, we've shown people how crazy popular it is that they're like, oh wait, never mind. This is now expensive to get the rights to. So we kind of
that's something I think that, you know, for people that are listening to this that are fans of The Last Drive, and why don't you play this movie, or like, don't you this movie, Sleepaway right. Camp 2, whatever.
Oh my god,
it's not that easy to find out who owns the rights, or even to even
talk them into giving it to you for a reasonable price for a reasonable amount of time. It's like a lot of crap goes into it.
And I think that's one of the things where we're just teed up with 12 Friday 13ths. The no-brainers. Why isn't there a Friday 13th part 13? Because nobody really knows. One guy owns Friday 13th. One guy owns Jason Voorhees. And that's just going to go into legal hell, basically, right?
Yeah.
So we're giving
get it together.
Yeah, we're giving you guys some movie lessons here. But now let me go to another one. Leprechaun 3.
Leprechaun 3 is the best Leprechaun, and I love Leprechaun.
Now, why is Leprechaun 3 the best Leprechaun?
Oh my gosh, it's the Vegas one, and it's like a were-leprechaun. It has Carolyn Williams. It's just, it's so fun.
Were-leprechaun? I don't think I've seen this one. I'm just looking to see if Warwick Davis is still the guy. Yes, he is. He's the guy. Now, Warwick of Davis, of course, was Ewok. Was the Ewok, and also has an amazing comedy series with Ricky Gervais called Life is Short, which is hilarious. So you are saying that this is the best one. Is there any kills that sound like, what are the highlights for this, why you like it so much?
Wow, there are some really creative kills. The one that stands out the most, obviously, or not obvious, I guess, if you haven't seen it, but Carolyn Williams. She's like,
she's a scream queen?
She is. Okay. Her death is just, you know what? It's memorable. Let's just say that. You need to watch it. I cannot do it justice. It's a masterpiece.
Carolyn, she's Loretta, which is my mom's name, by the way. Aww. I'm just trying to see if I can scan through and see Loretta.
She was in Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2 is what a lot of people know her from.
Okay. Loretta wishes to have her 20-year-old body back, and her wish comes true. The leprechaun then appears and asks her for his coin, but Loretta tells him she doesn't have it. He becomes infuriated and massively inflates her breasts, lips, and butt.
Oh my God, yes.
Loretta hysterically cries, tries to escape from the leprechaun. She becomes wedged between his frame due to her blown-up body parts and tries to force herself through.
It's so good.
The door frame breaks into tiny pieces, which causes her to explode.
Spoilers. Yeah, not explained.
Listen,
it pretty well.
It came out in 95. That's that's almost a 30-year spoiler.
Funny. I love it.
I know you guys are going to like the sound of this. I got two words for you. Mint Mobile. What's so great about Mint Mobile? How about all this stuff? Premium wireless starting at just $15 a month. No trapping you into a two-year contract. No opening your bill to find it full of crazy fees. No luring you in with some free subscription to a streaming service that you forgot to cancel and then end up paying full price for. Been there, done that, still might be doing that. Here are the awesome things that you do get with Mint Mobile. The best rate, whether you're paying for yourself or your family. And family plans start at 2 lines. All Mint Mobile plans come with unlimited talk and text. You can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and keep your same phone number. I love that. So switch to Mint Mobile now and get premium wireless service starting at just $15 per month. That's $15 per month and no unexpected plot twists at mintmobile.com/Jericho. mintmobile.com/Jericho. Your wallet's going to love you. Switch now. Just go to mintmobile.com/Jericho.
Nice makeup job. Stop fooling around, man.
Now, this one I can go with you as well. Friday the 13th, part 3. Now, before we go into what you have written down as the favorite kill in the series, Friday the 13th Part 3 is warranted because it is the first movie where Jason has
a mask,
right?
He gets it from Shelley, who is just...
Shelley's kind of the...
an all-time one of my favorite characters ever.
Really? So why is that?
I don't know. I just always felt so bad for him. He has that line where... it's like, why aren't you going skinny dipping? And he says, because I'm not skinny enough. And just, I'm like, oh,
yeah, you feel bad. He's kind of a chubby guy, yeah. And he's portly, and he tries to get by doing
his little
pranks,
yes.
You know? And so
people are like, stop it, Shelly, you suck. And I'm like, no, Shelly, you're awesome.
Yeah, like we said, so this is the first, and this is actually, this might also be the first time, where was the killer Jason?
The grown-up Jason? Yes.
Yeah, because one obviously was the mom.
Yes.
Spoiler alert. Two was grown-up Jason. Three was grown-up Jason. Then four is when they started going to the different ambulance attendant and all that stuff.
How dare you? Yes. Yeah.
So what is your favorite kill of the whole? Now you're saying your favorite kill of the whole series.
Of the whole
out of all
series,
12 of them.
Yes. Andy, the dude that walked
What's his name?
Andy,
right?
Oh yeah, why don't you look it up and describe it?
Oh, great.
Do you remember it?
I remember it. Yes. Andy's the guy who walks on his hands. Yes. He's like a gymnast. And I believe Andy gets a early Catherine Corcoran, Art the Clown.
Yes.
Gets basically the male version of getting split in two.
So
while he's, and how do they actually show the machete going all the way?
They show it and he kind of collapses, but then there's a scene after where you see his body like kind of in pieces, folded in half or whatever, with like blood dripping down. So it looks gnarly. So it's like, it's not as good a kill as I would like to see.
Well, you probably couldn't go that far with it at this point. You know, I mean, it's
if you put both scenes together, it's pretty satisfying.
Yeah, I just looking through. Okay, here it is. This is great. Shelley scares Vera with a hockey mask, then wanders into the barn where Jason slashes his throat, taking his mask to conceal his face. Jason goes to the barn. Vera retrieves Shelly's wallet. He gets shot in the eye with a spear gun, which I remember. Jason enters the house and slices in half a hand standing handy with a machete. Now, let me also say this. We'd be remiss to say that this is Friday the 13th, part 3D.
Yes.
Which was a famous trope of 80s horror movies. Number three had to be 3D. Which, by the way, brings me to one of my...
Okay.
Jaws 3D.
Oh my God. Because guess, notice what list I have that on.
Let me guess. Now you are such a, like, we have a lot of similar tastes, but you like everything except for the certain things we should say. And you actually have on your list Jaws 3D.
List of as good or surpasses.
Oh my God. As good or surpasses the original.
And to me, surpasses.
Okay, so now let's get into this. By the way, you're absolutely insane, and you're completely wrong. But why do you think that Jaws 3 is just as good or surpasses? And you just said in your mind it does surpass.
I just think that
Jaws, one of the greatest movies of all time.
Do I see logically that Jaws is a good movie? Sure, it's well made. Whatever, blah blah blah. Jaws 3D though is silly and fun. It's just the fun aspect is such a big deal to me, and I love the idea of a shark attacking you like in SeaWorld. It's so like scary to me, you know. So I just love those scenes. I love the silly 3D effects, and it's just so much more fun. Jaws is like
scary.
A drama. No, the original Jaws is just like a boring drama.
It's actually
drama.
Like scary.
No, it's not.
Well, first of all, I will say this.
Did you see the bread loaf? This shark coming in Jaws 3D, like goes through the glass.
This really surprised me too. Budget $18 million and the box office $88 million. That's insane. That is a huge hit, critically panned. But I went and actually saw this in the theater July 22nd, 1983. It came out, so you're like, once again, almost 40 years ago. And I remember, like, first of all, Dennis Quaid is in it, which is awesome.
He's great. Leah Thompson.
Leah Thompson. That's right, Leah Thompson. But the one scene where you have the water skiers all stacked, like the famous, like the Go-Go's Vacation video, and they wipe out, and here comes the shark, and it's pretty f***ed up. It's actually pretty cool when they know the shark's coming, and they can't fall, and there's like eight of them all balancing each other. And
that's
all just
such a great scene.
That's a great scene. And then it kind of goes downhill from there. And by the way, just when I was in London, stuck there December of last year, Jaws 3D was on and I watched it for the first time in probably, you know, almost 40 years.
And realized how great it is.
It does not hold up.
It's so,
but the best part
up.
Is, and this is great, it's like you said, the cheesy 3D effects.
We always refer it to as a bread loaf, floating bread loaf that comes. If you look at it thinking that's what their shark looks like.
Is it a shark?
Like.
Oh, a shark? Okay.
It's their shark, but...
Because it'll also be like an arm coming.
It's just, it's beautiful. It's magnificent.
Friday 3.3 is like the spear gun that comes right at you.
Yes, and they have random things too, like popcorn pops up and stuff. Anything to make it 3D.
And you would sit there with your dumb little glasses on just going, ooh.
But be amazed, yeah.
Yeah, be amazed, yeah. Now, I got to go with you on this one. I think, for me, the best installment of... The Friday 13th, or sorry, of Nightmare on Elm Street is Dream Warriors.
Hell yeah.
Part 3. It is, and once again, I just watched this. My daughter, for one of her birthdays or one of mine, gave me a mason jar with like 40 horror movies on pieces of paper, and you reach in and grab one.
Aww.
And whichever one you grab, we watched. And
my God, I love that idea.
Yeah, it was a great idea. And she had Dream Warriors on it, and we watched it. And it's like everything is so great about it, from the music, obviously, Dokken.
Yeah. Give me a little Dream Warriors.
Yeah, exactly.
Do it.
Oh. We're the Dream Warriors. Don't want to dream no more.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, and they, of course, did the video where Don Dokken is being accosted by Freddy, etc. But why is, like, I said about Terrifier 2, like, Terrifier 1 is like Metallica, Kill 'Em All, whereas Terrifier 2 is like Master of Puppets. There isn't a Terrifier 3, but
there will be.
Nightmare 1 is Kill 'Em All. Nightmare 2 is not quite as good, but Nightmare 3 definitely is the Master of Puppets. They really figured it out. They've got the dreams right. They've got the story right. They've got the mix of good actors, great final girl, Heather Langenkamp, one of the greatest final girls, and just some amazing,
except she doesn't make it through this one.
Kills. She doesn't, but she's the final girl in 2, right? Or 1?
1.
Okay, great. So she doesn't, yeah. So let's talk a little bit about why this one's so much better for you than some of the others.
You make me explain stuff. I don't enjoy that.
We're talking about movies. Like, do you like the concept of how they were able to... What I liked about it was there was more of a point than just a bunch of random kids getting killed. There are actually kids that are all like in a home for wayward children or something along those lines.
Yeah, I'm trying to think exactly what makes it so much better. I think it's just seeing this group of misfits all work together.
Yeah. Well, she's in Weston Hills Psychiatric Hospital, where she's placed under the care of the doctor, and then they all have all these misfit kids that are there.
Yes, and they all thought they were alone, and they all thought they were crazy, and they had issues because of it, and then they find each other and band together to kill Freddy for once and for all.
Which, of course, does not work, because there's another of those. This does have the great John Saxon in it, who's in many.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Amazing horror movies. My favorite, one of my favorite kills in the whole series is, of course, the famous Marionette.
Yeah.
Suicide sequence.
Oh, man. I just, even thinking about that, I can feel it. It's like the veins that come out.
It's gross, right? It's so what happens is that the guy, and listen, if you've been living under a rock, Freddy infiltrates your dreams and basically murders you in your dreams, but that kills you in real life as well, basically, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this kid becomes a marionette. I think he's a heroin addict or something like that. And I think Freddy's like, I mean, it'd be a different
thing. The heroin addict was the...
Okay, so there is
I'm another. Beautiful and bad.
Right, so but this guy was, I think he was suicidal, maybe, or something like that.
He was suicidal, and he just had sleepwalking
right
issues. So they thought he was just sleepwalking.
Yeah, so he then becomes a marionette where his, like you said, his veins and tendons are being pulled out of his arms to be his strings.
Oh, man. So
and is there even a point where you see Freddy above him like manipulating like Master of Puppets, right?
Exactly. Oh, wow. Yes, literally.
Yeah, and then he walks him to the edge of the building, and then he jumps off and dies.
And they think he killed himself.
Yeah.
They don't see all that. They just see him walking.
Yeah, they just see him walking, but he's really walking like a marionette. Mm-hmm. And once again, these are his tendons
His arms.
It's so gross.
Whoever thought of that has problems.
Oh, I know, right? But like I said, I can see it in my head, just like, oh, it's so gross. And wasn't there another great scene too where she's watching TV and was like Dick Cavett or something, and Freddie comes in? Tell us about that one.
No. Oh. I'm going to say it. To me, that's a controversial statement. Because I want to love it. Like, welcome to primetime, bitch. And then
that's the line, yeah.
He lifts her up and brings her through the TV and like kills her like that. Yeah. Except that when they cut to the real world scene, the TV's up super high on the
super
wall.
High, yeah.
And she just jumped into it from nothing. And they're like, must be a suicide. So I'm like, well, I would have liked them to make that a little more of a realistic death.
Kind of
takes me out of it.
Right? Yeah.
A little bit. It's like, how, like, who commits suicide by jumping up to the ceiling?
I always know that. Yeah, she's watching in the TV room. The TV's very high mounted on the wall. And they don't even think twice about the fact that because Freddie, it is Dick Cavett.
It's a great scene. It's a really great scene.
But like, so the plot hole of
Zsa Zsa Gabor, I think.
Zsa Zsa Gabor, right? And Freddy reaches, grabs her in from the TV, pulls in the TV, and it just doesn't really look like it could be possibly real. But everyone just goes, oh, it's a suicide. And what are you going to do? So
darn those kids.
Damn kids. But it really is a great, excellent installment here.
First, they tried burning me. Then they tried burying me. But this is my favorite. They even tried holy water. But I just keep on ticking.
Now I'm going to go into one that I don't recall, and you have a great comment about it. Psycho 3, whatever, I love it. Now I remember...
Wait, finish that thought. What's the other part?
Oh, Jeff Fahey is hot as...
Yes.
So I forgot that Jeff Fahey was the lawnmower.
That's an important part of it.
Isn't Jeff Fahey the lawnmower?
Yes, I love Jeff Fahey. He's amazing. And in another Three Cool, that's amazing too, but we'll get to that.
Oh, we're going to get to that. So Psycho 3, so here's the thing with Psycho 3, and it came out in 86. So I remember, and Psycho 2 came out must have been a year before. So I remember, obviously Psycho came out like, 1963 maybe, something along those lines. And they waited like 25 years to put out a Psycho 2. And it was the most random, but I remember there's some great boobs in it, in Psycho 2. And it's still Anthony Perkins who plays Norman Bates. And I went to the theater, and here we are, a bunch of teenagers going to go see like Norman Bates, Anthony Perkins in the movie theater. And it kind of gave him a new life, so to speak, right?
And it wasn't bad. Like, a lot of people really like it.
I remember, oh, hold on a second. So Psycho 2 was 1983. So I didn't, I went to see Psycho 3 in the theater.
Psycho 3?
Yes, because that's 1986. I remember I was working at Zeller's, which is like a Target, and my friend the Googe used to come pick me up in his car, and we were 15, he was 16, so we had the green machine, and we used to go down and watch movies. And we went and saw Psycho 3 in the theater. So I remember this. Now, why do you like this so much?
Again, it's just a fun factor. You'll notice, again, that is on the equal or better than list.
That's the list that you have it on, right?
I just, Psycho, I can see is a good, classic, well-done movie, but I just have so much more fun with Psycho 3. The kills are fun. Jeff Fahey's hot. He has a little naked dance lamp scene thing. And it's just a lot more fun to me. I'd rather watch that any day over actual Psycho.
Well, because the thing is, too, they're different movies, right? Like, the actual Psycho is kind of like you're talking about Frankenstein or something along those lines. It's from the 60s. It's very Alfred Hitchcock. It's very slow. And you hate slow movies.
I do.
You hate House of the Devil.
It depends.
The Shining. You know, you hate those types
of
movies.
Oh, yes, I do.
This one is more of right up your eyes of just being a slasher movie. Is this something, ever show on Last Drive-In?
Of course, I would love to.
I wonder what the rights are to get a Psycho film.
I don't know. Things you would not expect are super hard sometimes.
Right, and let me also just say that this was directed by Anthony Perkins. So that's Norman Bates directed this movie as well as
starred
in it. And I'm just checking something out to see, because I remember there's a girl in a yellow dress who showed some nice boobage and gets killed. She's a Canadian film actress. This might not be her. Obviously, she's much older now. No, that's not her. So there's another Scream Queen. But anyways, lots of good stuff in that. I would probably like to go back and watch it again at some point in time.
I want to rewatch it too. Let's do a rewatch.
Just check. Let's put it on the rewatch list.
Heck yeah.
After that, another one that you have is, this is a good one, Army of Darkness.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if we were going to do top five, I figured we'd both have that one in it.
I agree with you on that. I think Army of Darkness is definitely top five. Now, once again, Evil Dead, very primitive. Still holds up, but I mean, the special effects are terrible, and the concept of it is very creepy. Obviously, there's things that we see in that movie that were invented then, like the point of view demon high speed camera going through the woods. And then Army of Darkness 2, or Evil Dead 2, is almost like the studio got a hold of it, and then it becomes full on Sam Raimi because he loves the Three Stooges.
Yes.
So it bugs me. I'm not a fan of 2. I like some of it, but just the whole
Shem. You don't like to?
It's okay. But the fact that now he's, pulling Three Stooges moves on himself as he beats himself up and all that other stuff. So listen.
Comedy horror.
You know, I hate the comedy horror.
Never mind.
Army of Darkness, there's elements of comedy horror, but I just feel it's so wacky. Like,
it's such a different tone.
Yes.
So you can get away with that.
It really is. If you want the kind of the horror comedy, I think he did a much better version of combining one and two for three. You know what I mean? Like one.
No, I can't follow that.
So three is the perfect combination of one and two.
Oh,
in tone.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, you know, that's a good way
like,
to put it.
It opens great too with like, you know, Shop Smart, Shop S Smart, and Ash Williams. My son's name is Ash, by the way.
After him.
It's not short for anything. Although Ash in the movie is short for Ashley, but in real life, Ash is short for Ash. But he's working in a Target, and it's called S Smart, Shop Smart, Shop S Smart, and that's when right out of the gates, there's kind of one of those demon witches, and it shows up, and it's just a really. Oh, that might be at the end of the movie. Or is that the beginning of the movie? I don't know. Oh, no, that's right. Because at the end of Evil Dead 2, he gets transported to the Middle Ages.
Yes.
Well, there is a great scene towards the end where there is a demon girl inside of the Target store, S-Mart. And I always love the idea of... It's like one of the reasons why I really like Terrifier. Like these creepy things happening just in real life scenarios. You're not in the cabin in the woods. You're not, you know, in a dark house in the middle of the night. It's just like you're in the daytime and you're at S-Mart and here comes this demon witch. And I always liked that. I thought it was pretty cool.
Did you ever go to an S-Mart, by the way?
There's no such thing.
Oh, yeah. Yes, there is, sweetie.
There is, really?
Oh, my grandma used to take me to S-Mart all the time.
Seriously?
Oh, yes.
Is that in the South?
That's I guess.
You went full on. Oh, yeah, there is, sweetie.
S-Mart is like poor white trash territory.
But obviously, so the concept of this is that Ash goes back to the Middle Ages and his shotgun and his chainsaw arm.
Yes.
Ridiculous. Confiscated and he's got the car.
In the best way, though.
And so now he has to kind of, it's kind of like, I don't know, some weird Game of Thrones thing where there's this big army of skeleton demons and Ash has to kind of train the townsfolk into the art of swords play.
Yes, comparing it to Game of Thrones is
it is very much so a Game of Thrones.
It is. It's a more fun Game of Thrones.
It's really cool. And of course, you know, he forgets Klaatu, Barada, Nikto, or he f***s up Necromicon. That's the code that you have to use to get the Necronomicon to work. And he forgets it all the time, right? Do you remember this? So he's got the Necronomicon, and he has to determine which one is real. And then he has to do the password that allows him to remove the book safely. And it's Klaatu, Barada, Nikto. If he says those three words, he can take the Necronomicon and it, you know, it doesn't open up the evil world. Well, Ash, because he's such a moron, forgets. And he goes, Klaatu, Barada, Barada. Klaatu, Barada, Barada. And he takes the book and goes. And then when that happens, here comes the Deadites, basically the Army of Darkness.
Nice.
Right.
You did that really well.
Well, yeah, I'm also reading about it, but I've seen this movie 15 times. So finally, he has to have the whole Deadite army, which he's now helped the townsfolk learn how to fight. And then he ends up going, he ends up getting the right spells to take his Oldsmobile, which, by the way, is Sam Raimi's real Oldsmobile from 1973. And he gets it back to modern times. Yes. And wins the war and goes back to modern times. And then the end of it is Ash tells his fellow employee at the S-Mart what happened, and the female coworker who's hot on him turns into a Deadite and tries to attack him. And then of course he pulls out the rifle and screams "Hail to the King, baby," and kills the Deadite.
Bam,
boom,
end scene.
Amazing. And he calls it the Boomstick, which, by the way, I was going to call the Codebreaker the Boomstick originally, but Lance Storm hated the name. And I said, Boomstick. He's like, "That's terrible. What does that even mean?" I'm like, "Obviously, you're not an Army of Darkness." Changed it to the Codebreaker. So, there you go.
You have to come up with one of yours, though. Like, what's one on your list that's not on mine?
Oh, well, I don't have anything on here that ends up as any of the honorable mentions or the ones that you chose, because a lot of those are on it. But for me, I'm going to go right into a big here right now.
Okay.
It's my all-time favorite movie, possibly, horror movie, followed by the all-time worst. There's actually two of them we can discuss.
Okay.
So even did a watch along on this podcast with Kevin Smith for Damien Omen 2. I've been obsessed with it since I was a kid, terrified of Damien. When I first met you and Joe Bob, the highlight, besides meeting you and Joe Bob, was meeting Harvey Stevens, who of course is Damien from The Omen, who I flipped out on.
Oh yeah, I remember. Like 15, you were really excited. 5-year-old
just dude.
That's so cool though.
So I loved Omen 2. They used to show it on TV when I was a kid. When maybe they showed Omen 1 on TV or when video came out, I was able to get it. So I vividly remember going to see Omen 3, The Final Conflict, with my grandfather in 1983. I convinced him to take me to the movie. It is violent. It is disgusting. It is gross. You watch it now, it doesn't hold up. But I remember watching it with my grandma, like, grandpa. And like, the basic concept is that Damien is now in line to be the president of the United States, which is always kind of his destiny because he's a Thorne. You know, Robert Thorne and Richard Thorne were in line for presidency too until Damien killed them. So he then, these seven monks get the seven daggers of Megiddo. That's the only way you can kill the Antichrist. And these are the worst monks ever, a bunch of freaking losers. They look like slobs, they're losers. And Damien kills each one of them one by one and sends a pack of hungry dogs on one.
Oh no, that was a rough scene.
Burns another one as he's on a talk show and the guy falls wrapped in plastic and catches on fire and just all these horrible deaths. And basically then he falls in love and then he has to kill all the firstborn sons of the people in London. It gets completely out of control.
I think they really think that like Jesus was reborn, so they're trying to kill all the babies that might be Jesus.
That's exactly
right?
Good call. Yeah. So yeah, it's like creeping death. The firstborn son. Yeah. Gonna kill them. And I remember when I watched it with my grandfather, and the opening scene is like the reason why Damien's in line to become the president is the guy that's lying in front of him sees one of Damien's dogs, sets up this elaborate a suicide thing where he sets
up. Oh yes.
Where they open the door pulls the trigger and blows his head
so
off.
So gnarly.
And it's scanner level.
It's good. It's really good.
Yes. And I remember when we left the theater, because all the monks die, everyone dies, the guy's head gets blown off. My grandfather was like, wow, not a lot of people survived that piece of shit.
Oh, I love your grandpa.
And I also remember, too, he taught me how to use the bus that day. You put your money in the thing, and it was 35 cents for the bus. So anyways, I have great memories of the final conflict. But when you watch it back, and I went and watched it back, I think right during the beginning of the pandemic, and it does not hold up. It's an awful movie. Sam Neill plays Damien, who then had another run in Jurassic Park. But it is just not, I just don't like it. It's just very, he creeps me out to this day because Damien Thorne creeps me out, but the movie's just crap. It's not good at all. And maybe I'm being a little bit hard on it, but I'm like,
I think you're being fair.
Watching it back was just kind of like, whatever.
I didn't like seeing a grown-up Damien, although he did a wonderful job and he looks like a grown-up Damien. He's so much creepier when he's a kid to me.
He's a little kid?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the first one because he doesn't speak, and the second one because it's Mark. Look at me, Mark.
Oh my gosh,
and he kills Mark. Dude, by the way, so Kevin and I figured this out. So, you know, in Omen 2, when Mark is his stepbrother, who he kills by giving him some brain aneurysm, I still remember that scream. And the mom goes, what did you do? What did you do? That guy, the guy who played Mark, went on to become the creator of, what's that thing you can go to where you buy cars online?
Like Carvana?
CarMax.
Oh.
Carvana, one of the two.
Whatever, that's
There's
amazing.
There's one in LA when you drive down the 405 from the airport.
I know what you're talking about, the big glass.
It's a giant like CarMax.
Car place, yes.
He invented that.
Wow.
Like that. So he went to great fame.
Ballin' now.
Yeah, ballin', exactly. So once again, like older Damien, and I remember like there's a scene where he's just banging this girl up the butt and like that's evil Damien, and like she's screaming.
Oh yeah, he goes crazy on her.
Yeah, he's just going nuts, he's scratching her and all that stuff, and it gets pretty out of control. There are some great scenes in it, but you know, it ends up Damien does, you know, spoiler alert, gets killed by the chick who he had been, you know, physically assaulting, and she gets it with the last dagger of Megiddo. So there you go. And then it goes off into 4th, 5th, 6th, 8th, 12 parts, but the third.
I think Peter and Snowboy are in there right now.
Anybody home? there. You that hurt. Don't you ever.
The other FU is Sleepaway Camp 3.
Ooh, really? An FU.
Now, you have Sleepaway Camp on your...
honorable mention.
Okay, good. I was going to say you better not have it.
Not better. Two is better.
Well, but. Okay, so let's talk about this. So Sleepaway Camp 3 was filmed at the same time as Sleepaway Camp 2, right?
Yeah.
So my question to you is this. If they were filmed at the same time, how can 2 be so great and 3 be so terrible, in my opinion?
What I've heard is that because it was kind of all straight through, people were getting really tired and the budget was running out. So they kind of just started strong and just petered out to get it done.
Interesting. So once again, we're talking about Sleepaway Camp 3, Teenage Wasteland, which I thought was a great title.
It's a great title.
A Who song. I do recall that. So let's check this out. They filmed this. Okay. So according to the commentary from this 2002 Survival Kit DVD, where are all these DVDs? Well, I've never heard of Sleepaway Camp commentary.
I do have the Survival Kit. I don't think I've ever listened to the commentary though.
Okay. So production of the film began immediately after Sleepaway Camp 2 wrapped, and production of both films lasted a total of 6 weeks. And I'm going to intersperse this because I remember reading this. They had 6 weeks to film, and I think 2 went like a week over. So they did 4 weeks to film 2 and only had 2 weeks to film 3.
Oh, that makes sense.
That's another part of it,
yes.
Too. And it also had a lot of editing, which was a big problem with... I spoke to James from Dead Meat about Valentine's... My Bloody Valentine.
Oh, yeah. They cut a lot out of that.
And also another threequel, Day of the Dead.
Mm-hmm.
When I first watched Day of the Dead, there was nothing in it. They had cut all the great parts out. Maybe it was a Canadian thing or whatever. I'm sure they did that with Sleepaway Camp 3 as well, because there is no good kills in that thing.
You're right.
There isn't.
I never thought about that.
There's none.
But I remember most that there is a lot of good boobage in it.
Amazing boobage.
And it makes, yeah, like definitely best in the series on that one. But yeah, like you're so distracted by that. I've never thought about the kills kind of suck.
Here's the best part. I got to find this guy's name. There he is. Michael J. Paul.
I knew where you were going.
You know where I'm going. As Herman Miranda, who's the male boss, and his wife is Lily Miranda, the worst ever. And this is an old dude. He looks pretty like old, and he's ugly, and he's the one who gets this super hot boob chick. Remember, he takes her in the tent.
Yeah.
And she has sex with him because he is the, you know,
he has so much power at the camp.
He had so much power in being... I got to find something. I got some trivia here.
People might remember him from Scrooge. He was like the homeless guy that froze it up.
That is a good call.
Just so you can kind of picture what we're talking about.
Corpses.
Yes.
Oh, here. Yeah. I have to find this for you, though. He is actually a Oscar nominee.
I know.
Which you're not going to believe. I believe... Yes. He played... C.W. Moss in Bonnie and Clyde with Warren Beatty, Faye Dunaway, Gene Hackman, and he received an Academy Award and Golden Globe nomination for Best Supporting Actor.
I mean...
Can you believe that?
Absolutely. I feel like he was robbed for Sleepaway Camp 3. I can definitely see it.
He's lascivious too. Like, it's really creepy. And this chick is just so excited. Maybe she liked him because he was an Oscar nominee.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense now.
as we start to, we still got somewhere to go. We mentioned it earlier on. I've never seen this movie. I want your review as much as you can remember. Puppet Master 3.
Oh.
Toulon's Revenge.
Oh, Lord.
Who is Toulon, by the way?
He is the Puppet Master.
Okay. I don't think I've ever seen a Puppet Master movie.
Wait, you've never seen any Puppet Master
movie? I'll
tell
you the reason why.
Okay.
Scary puppets are right up there to me with horror comedy. I think
what?
It's stupid. I don't
know.
Like
yeah, they're amazing. Give me a horror puppet any day.
Yeah, I'm not a fan. and there's literally, like you said, like 15 of these things. So here it is. Puppet Master 3, Toulon's Revenge. Apparently takes place in 1941. Is there anything about this that you can recall? There's no budget or box office for it because it probably never came out
at
the theater.
Well, it's full moon. It's not going to be a a high budget.
So Full Moon is the company that invented it, kind of?
Yeah, and I work with them a lot, actually, and they are notoriously, yes, and proud to be very cheap and film things really quickly. So considering their budget for this installment is actually really well done. It's kind of his war picture, and it's more of a prequel to the other one.
Picture.
It really is. Like, he focuses on, this is the one where the puppets become kind of the good guys, and they're killing the Nazis. So it kind of has a real story, you know.
I wonder what year this came out in. Hold on, let me see. Puppet Master 3. Oh, 1991.
Wow. Yeah.
So it's fairly, you know, newish. The producer's Charles Band. That's who you know.
Yeah.
You work with, right? Yeah.
They know their creatures over there. Like, their puppets are just so amazing.
So is the concept of the Puppet Master that at first was like, was his name Toulon? Is he the guy that invented the puppets originally? Mm-hmm. So would there be like a bunch of different kind of misfit puppets, like Toy Story or something? And they'd all be murdered? Was it just one puppet, or was there a bunch of puppets?
Oh, there's a lot of puppets. Okay, so. You have to watch one.
I'll watch one.
You don't know any of them.
What's the best one out of all of them?
Three.
Okay, well,
if you don't like three, you're not going to like any of them.
Keeping in the spirit of things, I promised James Dedmi to watch My Bloody Valentine.
Wait, have you never seen My Bloody Valentine?
Well, I did, but it was
oh, the cut version.
They cut 9 minutes of it.
Yeah, I know.
So that's the same with, like I said, Day of the Dead. Like, these are what we had in Canada. You get these movies and there's nothing in it.
So then you hated it because you didn't know that.
Yeah, I hated it. Yeah.
And yeah, by the way, I have seen the restored version. It's really, it's amazing.
See, I need to give especially My Bloody Valentine a reprise. I will say this too. I forgot to say, in Sleepaway Camp 3, Michael Pollard's wife, she is the dumbest death. She falls into a thing of garbage bags in a hole, and she apparently forgets how to stand up. She just doesn't know how to stand up, and they drive a lawnmower over her head, and she's just like, stop. And I'm like,
trash bags.
Stand up. It's like someone who drowns in like 2 feet of water. Just put your feet on the ground and stand up.
That's one of those, we got to hurry up and finish filming. Kills.
Hey, listen, guys, we got a week and a half left. Kill
trash
her.
Bags, that's what does it.
She's done.
Hola, amigos. Aprendo Español. Hey, friends, I'm learning Spanish. Not bad, right? I'm using Babbel, the language learning app, and I am having a great time. I sit on my flights to AW and do a few lessons on the plane. Now, Babbel works offline and has some cool options that let me use flashcards, matching, and just listening so I don't hurt anybody's ears as I work on my pronunciation and accent. But if I'm at home and want to do one of the quick 5-minute lessons, I chose the speaking option and I say everything out loud. My family loves that. It's so funny. I lived in Mexico in my early 20s for a couple years. I used to speak really good Spanish, but I forgot almost everything. So I'm going to be ready the next time I have to get into the ring in AEW with Bandido or Fenix or Penta. I'm going to know exactly what to do and what kind of trash talking those guys are throwing my way and how to throw it back. So like I said, I'm using Babbel to learn Spanish, but you can choose from 14 languages, including French, Italian, and German. In addition to the lessons, you can access podcasts, games, videos, stories, and even live classes. I haven't tried the live classes yet, but it's on my list to do as I continue to relearn Spanish. I also love Babbel's speech recognition technology. It helps you improve your pronunciation and accent, working on that as well. So if you want to learn another language for whatever reason, your job, your family, just for the fun of learning, expanding your own education, give Babbel a try. And right now, check this out. Get 55% off your subscription when you go to babbel.com/TIJ. That's babbel.com/TIJ for up to 55% off your subscription. BABBEL.com/TIJ. 55% off. Así que ve ahora. So go now. Babbel.com/TIJ. Muchas gracias, amigos e amigas.
I got a new game, sport. It's called Hide the Soul. And guess what? You're it.
Let's talk about, how about Hellraiser 3?
Hellraiser 3 is very different than the first two, but I think, again, fun. It's more of trying to be a little bit more mainstream, I guess, kind of more Hollywood than the first two.
How do they try and make it more Hollywood? Because the first, I never got into Hellraiser because, like you said, it's very dark. And it just, I never connected with it for whatever reason.
Have you ever tried three?
I have not tried three.
I think you might want to try that. The tone is just a little different. That's what I mean, I guess, by more mainstream.
Okay.
It's more of a, what you think of a like Hollywood horror versus the dark, extreme darkness
and
of
that
the other
could be the reason why, like you said, why it had that.
And this one too has some great nudity too. It has some really sexy scenes in it.
As okay, and it also has a great soundtrack. And I had this soundtrack, and I'll tell you the reason why. Because this is back when you couldn't just buy one song, and it has an amazing version of Hellraiser, which is Ozzy's tune off of No More Tears, co-written by Lemmy, and Motorhead has a version on this called Hellraiser, and it's great. It's better than Ozzy's version.
Well, I'll have to check it out.
So yeah, it's really, really good. Nowadays you can do that. You don't have to buy the whole album. You can
just
buy the soundtrack.
Type it in right now.
So it, how many Hellraisers is there?
Seven?
Okay, so this is another one. Just
check that though. I want to see if that's right.
Hellraiser series. It was really seven. Hellraiser 2, 3, Bloodline 4, Inferno, Hellseeker, Deader, Hellworld, Revelations, Judgment. And is there a new one coming out?
I guess if you count that.
One,
that
two,
would be
three,
eight.
Four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten.
No, I was
ten
so off.
Ten Hellraisers? How can there be?
There's so many Hellraisers.
Next year we're going to do 10th installment. So we'll probably find
okay,
a bunch.
Yes. The best 10th.
Oh my gosh. So are any of these any good?
I mean, if you like that world and that premise, then they're all worth watching. I fall asleep to them sometimes.
Yeah. See, once again, this is something where Clive Barker wrote this, and let's say Eli with Cabin Fever. He did it, or Hostel. He makes one, he does two Hostels, someone buys the rights, now there's six other Hostels or whatever. There's the worst Cabin Fever sequel. It's terrible. Don't ever watch it. But I'm assuming it's the same with Hellraiser. They probably bought Clyde out on Bloodline or whatever it is, and they just put him out every 2, 3, 4, 5 years.
Yeah.
And he just collects the checks, right?
Nothing wrong with that, though.
Well, I mean, listen, if you're going to do that, I told Damon Leone, you're going to do the same thing. There's going to be Art the Clown in space. They always end up in space.
I want Art the Clown in space, please. Yes. Make that happen.
Make it happen. I'll do my best. The Son of Frankenstein, which is great because we're going back to probably 1942 or whatever. Are you a fan of these old types, older Universal films?
Oh my gosh, for sure. And I definitely, when I write for Fangoria, I usually write about the classics because I just don't feel they get enough attention and respect, you know?
But it's strange to me because you don't like slow movies.
It's just like, how to explain it? It takes a lot for me to love it if it's slow. So that's saying a lot, you know? It's like I want the action, but yet I fall in love with the look and the atmosphere, and just these old stories are just so beautiful.
Do you like kind of the way it's shot, or do you like the...
All of it. It's just a wonderful time. I just love the look of that. I guess there's something different about old school slow versus current slow. Mm. You know, they just had different styles of filmmaking.
Well, once again, it's whatever you are into, you know, and this is how I say it all the time. But this is how I was weaned on horror movies because I think I've told you before, I was allowed to watch the late night, you know, creature features on a Saturday night, which would start at midnight. They'd show two. This is pre-VHS. So my mom would let me watch them, but I would have to go to sleep first. So I would go to sleep at 10:30 and I'd set my alarm for midnight.
Aww.
Yeah. And if I woke up, and I remember like nine times out of 10, but the one time out of 10 I didn't, I'd be so mad at myself. Because each week was two new movies and it was all Universal stuff and Hammer. So once in the, and obviously Hammer's kind of a more violent version, but it's still very, it's very British, but very cool. And I grew up on all these movies and Son of Frankenstein, vividly remember seeing it. And I think when we did our top 10, I mentioned Frankenstein because there is a tone and a feel to it. And I love that. Like if you can get into the vibe of old movies and really like just get out of your own head, it's black and white, who cares? There's some real cool stuff in it. And also, too, Son of Frankenstein is kind of famous because it has Basil Rathbone, who is Sherlock Holmes, Boris Karloff, who's Frankenstein, and Bela Lugosi, who's Dracula. So it's kind of like an all-star creature feature.
You can't ask for better than that.
I don't think it was based on any Mary Shelley novels or whatever. And you know, I don't know exactly, even remember what it was about, but there is a cool factor to the fact that there's three of these. And they were big movies. This would be like, you know, Saw or Paranormal, like, oh, they got another Frankenstein movie coming up. We're going to get big bucks in here, right? So let's go to
another
one. I
would kill for
one.
That now.
What's that?
That would be amazing. I wish it was still like that.
Yeah.
Give me a new Frankenstein movie, but like a good one.
You could probably never do a Frankenstein movie nowadays.
They do Frankenstein all the time.
Do they still?
Oh, yeah.
The only one that ever worked that wasn't Boris Karloff was Christopher Lee's Frankenstein for Hammer.
Yes. A lot of people liked Robert De Niro, but yeah.
I don't like it.
I'm not one of those people.
I want my Frankensteins to have square heads.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, so as we start to, I'm going to do one more of your honorable mentions, and then I want to hear your f-cues. which one can I do here? I have to bring this one up just because we discussed it earlier and didn't really get in depth, but just the name of it. Howling 3 Marsupials. That's actually the name of it?
That's the name of it.
Oh my gosh, that's awful. So tell us what you like about Howling 3, the Marsupials.
All the Howling movies, well, the first one's honestly great, but from there, they're just so
silly.
That's
D. Wallace, right?
Mm-hmm.
That is a great movie.
That is a great movie, but they just changed up from there.
They obviously, like we said, I think that was a Joe Dante movie or something like that, maybe. Whoever wrote it, they sold the rights, and now there's like 15 of these things.
Yes. It's just, it's very different and fun. I hate to keep saying it that way, but that just counts.
But that's what
so
horror movies
much.
Are all about.
It's very silly, and it's out of the Howling movies. It's one worth watching for sure, and it has its share of fans that really love it.
Now this is they go to Australia.
Yes,
and this is probably the worst tagline I've ever seen on a poster. Just when you thought it was safe to go down under. What does that mean? When did you ever think it was safe to go down under? Oh, finally. It's not like just when you thought it was safe to go in the ocean. I get it. Just when you thought it was safe to go. I've never not thought it was safe. It's not safe to go to the freaking Australian outback with the spiders and the snakes. But to go to Sydney, Australia, it's not bad. It's probably as safe as going to any other big city.
Well, you thought incorrectly, and that's what they're telling you. You thought it was safe, but guess what? Marsupials, baby.
In this sequel, werewolves have evolved with females having marsupial-like pouches to nurse their young. Now, marsupial would be a kangaroo,
yes,
a koala, a.k.a. Australian animals, which is where the marsupial comes in. Scientists attempt to study them while soldiers try to track and kill them in the Australian outback. Wackiness ensues. So you got that. And I don't know how many howlings there are.
I think 7 again.
Oh my gosh.
Come on, get it right this time.
Okay, let me just find the Howling sequel here. Howling franchise. Nobody in this movie has any name value whatsoever. No stars from down under are here. Oh, now we're talking about Howling. We'll have to Google it somewhere. I'll Google it while we're talking about the next one. We don't have dead air here on Talk is Jericho. Let's talk about your you list. You start off with, I know you are a massive, massive Scream fan, and you have Scream 3 here. And Okay, so let's hear some.
That movie, so hard. I don't even want to talk about it because I pretend it doesn't exist.
Well, you did mention it, so you know what it is.
I know. I had to.
And what don't you like?
I had to warn people. It's just, 1 and 2 are masterpieces to me. Like, literal masterpieces could not be more perfect. So I was in love with those. And when we got news of Scream 3 coming out.
Yes. And it's all the same cast, too. Yeah.
Yes. I was just devouring every bit of information about it on all the old school like message boards and chat rooms and whatever, trying to figure out the details of what the plot was going to be, what's going to happen, is Dewey going to be okay? Like, I was obsessed and could not wait. And I like took off of work that day, pretended to be sick so I could like prepare and have the screen party and get to the midnight showing. And I was so excited. And then cut to the end where I'm sitting in the chair at the theater, just sobbing, crying. And everyone around me was like, oh, look, you were so excited. Because I was in my, like, Scream outfit.
Yeah.
Way before anybody really did that. I was very strange to show up in a Ghostface outfit.
This is in the year 2000.
Yes. Yeah. So I'm the only one in a Ghostface outfit at that time. Anyway, so they knew I was very excited.
Like, you're a teenager still.
Exactly. So I was just, so I was very excited going in there. Can't wait to see it. Started crying during the movie, and everyone was just like, oh, that's because you love it so much, right? I'm like, hell no. And I like started screaming at the theater, like, what the fuck was that? They killed my movie. If you've ever seen the episode of SpongeBob where Patchy feels betrayed by SpongeBob and runs around tearing off his posters and tearing up his SpongeBob merchandise, that's exactly what I was doing. I took down all the posters that were on my wall, which were many, and just tore them up and said, Scream has betrayed me. Wes Craven has betrayed me. What is this bullshit?
What did you hate so much about it?
Oh, God damn. What is not to hate about it? The only thing I could say that is just one saving grace now is that Dewey didn't die.
Right.
But now we have the trauma of the new one to deal with that part. But
I mean, it's got a great cast. Parker Posey, Patrick Dempsey.
Just, oh, God.
Of course, so Courtney stupid. Cox. It's Courtney so Cox's stupid. Bangs are terrible, by the way, and I remember that.
You know what? But, like, people won't let her live that down. Who has not had a bad haircut? Hush. Be nice, people.
So you just didn't like the plot twist? You didn't like the script of it? You just didn't like what they did?
Yes. Every bit of it was just stupid.
Wow. Because it did great numbers. It cost $40 million. It did. Everyone did see it.
Some people, so like it's such a different tone again because like Kevin Williamson did the first two,
right?
And then he passed it on to Aaron Kruger, and that was an Aaron Kruger piece of crap right there. It is horrible.
Wow, so there is a lot of issues here, that you don't like about this,
yes,
right? I'm just trying a critical reaction. Wow, so Rotten Tomatoes 41%, that's pretty low for Rotten Tomatoes,
too high.
Despite some surprising twists, Scream 3 is too high. Sees the franchise falling back on the same old horror formulas and cliches it once hacked and slashed with postmodern abandon. Interesting. So they're saying that's it fair. became a cliche of itself. What did you think of the newest Scream movie? Okay, we're not going to go to that anymore.
There's stuff I liked and there's stuff I didn't.
Yeah, but it's not a fan.
Really?
Leatherface, is that the name of the third? You have Leatherface written down as a...
I do, because it's not my fuck you as much. I think it's fine, but Joe Bob has such a fuck you about that one.
Is it actually called Leatherface?
It is.
I see. I remember, so when the newest Texas came out, which was stock, I was looking through and saw this one, Leatherface, and I was like, I don't even remember this one. It's actually called Leatherface.
Mm-hmm.
And what does he not like about this?
Well, his biggest complaint is, what does he say? It's shot in California when it's supposed to be Texas, and that's very offensive. You can see mountains and stuff.
So Leatherface came out in 2017, and Texas Chainsaw, which there's such a pointless remake. Why did they even bother? It was so stupid in 2022. So, wow. So this was this supposed to be the origin of Leatherface?
Yeah,
like how he became Leatherface or something?
And he just thought it was very, very stupid. Kind of my Scream 3, I guess. Just gotcha. He felt so strongly about Texas Chainsaw Massacre, that's his favorite movie,
yeah,
that he felt like Leatherface just shit on that way. I think Scream 3
So Texas Chainsaw Massacre is his favorite movie?
Yeah.
And Scream is yours?
Yes.
Unabashedly, that's your favorite?
Absolutely.
Interesting.
Of any genre.
Okay. Oh, wow. Any genre. Wow, interesting. Because, so Leatherface, once again, I just want to point out that there is a Texas Chainsaw 3D.
What? So why is that funny?
Because we're laughing about the 3Ds. So, wow, and I've never seen this one, so not a good review. And let's just end it off, and then I got one more question after that, because I'm interested. Child's Play 3. Not the biggest fan of Child's Play. I've seen the first Child's Play and none of the others. I do not watch the TV series, which apparently is pretty good, whatever. I just, once again, what did I tell you earlier? I don't like horror comedy and I don't like dolls.
Oh my God, you're right.
I don't like horror dolls. It's stupid.
This is the worst.
Chucky's not scary. It's like,
it's so scary to me though.
Stupid.
Like puppets and dolls get to me so hardcore.
Okay.
So I grew up, like, Chucky was so, so scary. And I watch all of those. I watch the series. I'll watch them anytime.
Is the series good?
The series is
what it is. Gotcha.
It's fun.
So three, you don't like three.
Three is just heinous. Like, I cannot sit through that no matter what.
Is it bad kills, plot holes, cash in, money grab?
How to explain it other than it's just like a feeling what is of suck. It?
It's still got Brad Dourif as Chucky.
Yeah, the voice of Chucky is good. It's just the plot's stupid.
Gotcha.
Andy's in the military school and grown up.
I remember this. I vaguely remember. I might have actually seen that.
Bad.
I'm sick of this stupid Andy too. I don't like him either.
Oh, he's my friend.
Of course he is. They're all your friends. You see them at every Comic-Con there is, horror con there is. Chucky as a whole, you like the Chucky?
I do. I love Chucky. Just Chucky, we'll forget again that three exists.
Okay. So of all the movies we've discussed today, and we know that you hate Scream 3, and we know that I hate Omen 3, because Omen 3 is my Scream 3,
upset
which is
the
Joe
theater.
Bob's Leatherface. Not that, I mean, I love Omen. I can watch it 1,000 times in a row, but Omen 2 is...
Oh, yeah, because Omen is like one of your very favorites.
Yeah, and Omen 2. So those two is like to so this day. So oh, Omen yeah. 3 is a...
It's your Scream.
It sucks, yeah. So but what is your favorite of the movies that we discussed today? What is your favorite threequel of a horror franchise?
I think I'm supposed to say Halloween 3, but it's Dream Warriors.
Dream Warriors. You know what?
So
yeah.
Great.
I'm kind of thinking of what we've been discussing.
I would like to say we skipped over Ghoulies Goes to College.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't see that written down, but
it's just an honorable mention. We don't have to talk about it a lot, but definitely if you're a Ghoulies fan, that a look.
Now, here's another breakdown of a breakdown of a breakdown. Don't like horror comedies. Don't like doll comedies. Don't like Gremlins ripoffs. And you've got two
what
of them on
they
here.
Do? Gremlins.
You got Ghoulies. You got Ghoulies and Critters.
I do, because in Critters 3, that is Leonardo DiCaprio's movie debut.
Is it really?
It is. So it's worth noting for that.
Do you like Ghoulies Go to College?
I do like Ghoulies Go to College.
Do they graduate? What the hell are they taking?
Do you want spoilers? They do not graduate.
Spoiler alert. Ghoulies do not graduate. I just don't understand how these movies got made. Like, how are they greenlighting these films? Ghoulies Go to College. Ghoulies. Oh, my gosh. So bad.
If you told me that you're going to make a movie called Ghoulies Goes to College, I would greenlight that right away. We'll
I just
figure
remember,
out
like,
the rest
Ghoulies
later.
Said, like, something like there's a toilet or something. Weren't they hiding the toilet? All right, here we go. In the third installment, the little demons, I'm surprised they didn't say the little rascals, are summoned at a... Oh, they get summoned. Okay, so they're demons. Gotcha. At a college campus by Professor Ragnar, Kevin McCarthy, a genre favorite, who is obsessed with the occult. You know Kevin McCarthy?
Mm-hmm.
He's in Creepshow, yeah. Soon the creatures wreak havoc that is initially dismissed as elaborate pranks by the partying frat houses during prank week. That is, until a couple at the school realize that the pranks are not so innocent this time. All right. Straight to video. Vestron video. God bless
that
Vestron.
That makes it sound
and
much more dramatic than it is.
I'll take you a Leonardo DiCaprio debut and give you this debut.
Matthew Lillard.
And it all ties into Scream.
Yeah, it does. I mean, that's what made me check it out. And I'm like, this is great. And I forgot to mention one thing about Puppet Master 3 that will make you want to watch it. Very good nudity, including Michelle Bauer, which is one of the best Scream queens.
Okay.
So definitely check it out.
So there's a lot to check out here. We both agree, and I will agree with you, that Dream Warriors is probably the best threequel. Friday the 13th 3 is good, but it kind of blends in to me with 2 and 4. Like, it's good.
What? It blends in with 4? How dare you?
There's good and bad. Whereas Nightmare 3, I can remember everything from top to bottom. I can tell you everything that happened in that movie. It is a great movie with a great soundtrack. And another great 3, this has been a great threequel of this podcast.
Oh, yeah.
We did it.
It's our threequel.
Yay. So happy Halloween. And I look forward to seeing what we come up with next year.
Yay.
For the annual Halloween Darcy Jericho Talk is Jericho tradition.
Thank you very much.
It's almost time, kids. The clock is ticking. Be in front of your TV sets for the horror-a-thon. And remember the big giveaway at 9. Don't miss it. And don't forget to wear your masks. The clock is ticking. It's almost time. Happy, happy.